An estimated 250 young people experience homelessness on any given night in Indianapolis. Jill, you've been covering youth homelessness and efforts to decrease it. Why are children in foster care at a greater risk than other demographics?
Well, there's a number of reasons. Many 18-year-olds, as they quote-unquote age out of the system, they don't have a job that can pay for all the things, for rent, food, utilities, a car, their phone. The main thing that I've heard a lot about is they simply don't have the family support to fall back on if they do get behind.
Well, we're going to talk about your reporting efforts, but first we're going to hear from someone who lived that experience.
Yeah, that's right. 22-year-old Dejana Rodriguez, we were able to meet recently, and I have part of the interview that we'd like to share. She talks about all the challenges navigating the system to the next stage of life.
It's just very hard for education, stability, you know, my credit's getting lost. And so here I was, like 17 years old. I hadn't finished high school. You know, I hadn't knew how to drive. And I just had to get a hold of myself, like, you have goals, you know, you still that girl with all these goals.
She told me that after she left care at 18, she eventually connected with a cousin who lived in Indianapolis but was moving to Chicago. Her cousin said she could stay in her former apartment, but no one was paying rent anymore.
I would get up in the morning. Like, this was after she had moved everything. It was, like, so quick. Nothing's in there. I got my pallet. I'm expecting the lights to be cut off and everything to be cut off. You know, it was a risk. Every day I'm leaving out of this apartment, I don't have no keys to lock this door. All the little stuff that I got is in there. It could be, they could come back and, like, lock the door anytime that they want to. You know, it was just the risk.
Rodriguez told me she was in a number of bad situations until she was almost 20 and decided there must be some help for foster youth. She started researching and found the group Foster Success, but she didn't have the money to get there.
So I went to the Plasma Center. I donated. I had what I had to catch the Uber. I get here. It was actually me and my friend. We were both homeless. We were both foster youth. And we were both homeless. Yeah, we were both homeless.
That group helped her connect with programs and state financial assistance to get an apartment, find a job. She graduated high school on the honor roll, and she told me she started asking questions.
How do we stop this cycle of going to generation to generation to generation? My mother was in foster care. I never knew that until I got in foster care. Now it makes sense, a lot of the things that she did I didn't understand growing up. It makes sense, a lot of the way that she moved I didn't really understand. And so my things be, I think about the kids.
So it's been 2 years now since that time, and Rodriguez sits on three different youth foster boards. She also works at the nonprofit Voices, which helps young people involved in the criminal justice system.
Are a lot of the people that she helps from similar lived experiences?
You know, many are. She says that a lot of the young women that she's meeting, that she runs into in her life, were in the system with her. Many of them, she says, are also young mothers. And I can play a clip here where she shares some perspective on that.
They're scared to get help because when they think of DCS, they think of kids getting taken. They are scared to admit that they need help because they feel like they will lose the only motivation that they have.
So they don't ask for help because they're scared that they will lose their children?
Yeah, and that might show the mistrust that many young people have in the system itself.
So how can these young people new into society find the resources that they need then?
Well, there's a number of local and state nonprofits, Foster Success being one of them, and they actually do coordinate some state financial services for young people beyond housing. That includes Medicaid or the HIP program, the Healthy Indiana program. But there's, again, a lot of barriers. You know, there's a lack of long-term solutions for young people if they're not being able to connect with job opportunities or education.
So for the city's plan to end youth homelessness in the next 2 years, what tactics is it focused most on then?
So they say end, but that doesn't mean that they think they'll solve every housing crisis or have every person even sheltered. What it does, it aims to reduce the amount of time that someone may go without shelter to less than 30 days. And also with a focus on housing first. So that's really the first and foremost thing that people need. It's proven to be a really important solution, permanent housing solutions that are affordable.
That's interesting. So does the expected uptick in evictions this summer throw any of that off?
You know, it's hard to say. I've been reporting on a number of city and community partnership efforts that have helped with additional funding for housing-focused programs. But the answer is no one knows, especially not after 2020.
Maggie Stevens is president and CEO of Foster Success, and she's one of many who expect homelessness to increase as pandemic-related federal support ends. And here's what she says about that.
We've seen it over the past year, and unfortunately, I anticipate as these rent moratoriums, utility moratoriums expire, it's going to escalate, and we're going to see more and more young people who need support.
And that federal eviction moratorium is set to expire at the end of June.
Well, thank you so much, Jill, for covering this issue.
Well, thank you, Taylor, for talking with me today.